Hello, and glad to be with you today as we study through the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, we hope and pray that you will turn to the book of Hebrews and study with us chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. This has been a rather difficult passage over the years for some to understand. And yet, when we put this context in the proper setting of what's going on in this book, I think we'll better understand it. Let's read, first of all, Hebrews 6 and the first few verses. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 6. And it's been sort of a difficult passage, as you just read that, for people to quite understand. First of all, that we're to move on from these particular teachings. And second of all, that it's impossible to restore anyone who has fallen away. And those have been sort of hard passages to understand. But let's put in perspective the entire book. The entire book of Hebrews is trying to call people who have come out of the Mosaic age and have been baptized into Christ and have been added to the Lord's church, but they seem to want to go back to the Old Testament. People still do that today. They want to go back to the tithing. They want to go back to the instrumental music. They want to go back to the Passover. And what the book of Hebrews is saying is, don't go back there. Matter of fact, we'll see in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, that the law of Moses was a shadow of good things to come. It wasn't the good things, it was a shadow of the good things to come. And so in the book of Hebrews, they are being persuaded to leave the Mosaical system behind. You have a better messenger in Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. You have a better high priest. Why would we want to go back to the high priest of Aaron? Because we have a better high priest, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. We have better promises, the promises of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, he not only made a promise, but he swore with an oath. We have a better sacrifice for sin, according to Hebrews chapter 10, one that actually can take away sin instead of just remembering the sins every year. We have a better covenant, Hebrews 8 and chapter 9. We have a better rest, Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. We have a better hope, Hebrews 7 and verse 19. And that is the reason that they needed to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The principles of the doctrine of Christ are what is found in the Old Testament. Now, part of our understanding of this passage would help if we were to go back to chapter 5 in the last few verses there. We're beginning in verse 10. It says, God called an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Part of their problem was they weren't listening. They weren't giving the more earnest heed to the things which they had heard. They were going back to the Old Testament. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5 says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of God." That's where these recipients of this letter were. They needed to be taught again. They needed to be taught the milk. Why? They were unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So these people were stuck in the past. They had obeyed the gospel. They had become Christians, but they weren't moving beyond that. They weren't moving into the Old Testament or into the New Testament. They were holding on to the Old Testament. Hebrews 7 and 11 says, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the priesthood of Aaron, or the order of Aaron, rather?" And so verse 12 says, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." So we don't need the Old Testament law. There has been a change. The Old Testament law, and let me be clear, that's where the first principles concerning the doctrine of Christ are found. They're found in the Old Testament. The first principles of the doctrine of Christ were the Old Testament teachings. That's what they need to move on from, the first teachings of Christ. In Hebrews 7 and verse number 19, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." And so we're not to go back to that old covenant. And that's what Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, "Which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of this world." So the teaching of the book of Hebrews is to try to get people who were stuck in the Old Testament to move beyond those things. Those things could not make you perfect. Those sacrifices were not beneficial. Notice Hebrews 10 and verse 1. "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." The things taught of Jesus in the Old Testament were a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. For, here's why there was a remembrance, for it is not possible that the blood of good bulls and goats should take away sin. So, beloved, they needed to press on. They needed to get out of the Old Testament. And that's what Hebrews chapter 6 is actually addressing. The principles of the doctrine of Christ in the Old Testament, they needed to leave and go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation, and here's what brings the confusion right here. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And so the Old Testament was the beginning of Christ. Do you remember in Acts 8 and verse 28? The Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And when Philip joined himself to that chariot, the Bible says in Acts 8 and verse 35, he opened his mouth, he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of Christ, is found in the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14 talks about the virgin birth of Christ. Isaiah 53 talks about the sufferings of Christ for the sins of others. Psalm 22 talks about the day that Jesus would be crucified. They pierced my hands and my feet. These are the beginnings of Christ, the beginning of the Old Testament priesthood. Hebrews 7 and 9 and 11, Hebrews 7 and 19. But perfection is not in the Old Testament. Perfection is in the New Testament. And that's what they needed to move on to. And so they needed to not lay again, Hebrews 6 and 1, not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And so what are the dead works? Well, they weren't evil works. They were dead works, such as circumcision. That was a dead work, not an evil work, but it was dead. They needed to move on from that. Hebrews 9 and 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works. What are those dead works? Well, the dead works of the Old Testament. You know, circumcision was one thing that the Jewish people tried to bring into the church. Remember Acts chapter 15? They were teaching that unless you were circumcised after the circumcision of Moses, you couldn't be saved. You wouldn't be a part of the New Testament church. That's a dead work. In Galatians, the same thing is addressed. The matter of circumcision. They were still practicing it and teaching people that they had to obey the law of Moses. But circumcision is no longer necessary, and that's what they decided in Acts 15 in that meeting in Jerusalem. And that's what the book of Galatians was about. So repentance from dead works, we need to move on from that. We need to move on from those dead works. And then it says, and of faith toward God. Now that sounds like something you wouldn't move on from. But people believed in God in the Old Testament, but they didn't believe in Christ. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 1? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. That's something they had to do. They had to not only believe in Christ, but they had to go on and believe in, not only believe in God, but they had to go on and believe in Christ. That's what they had to do. That was something that was necessary. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And that's the dead works. And that's the faith toward God. They need to move on and believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul would say in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And so they needed to move on from the faith toward God, and they needed to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says in Hebrews 6 and 2 of the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of baptisms, they need to move on from that. Well, you know that same word in Hebrews 6 and 2 is translated washings in Hebrews 9 and 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now there were meats, there were drinks, there was divers washings, and carnal ordinances of the Old Testament. So that's what those baptisms or those washings is talking about. It's not talking about baptism for the remission of sins. It's talking about the washings of the Old Testament. There were many washings. Do you remember when they constructed the tabernacle? Out in by the front door of that tabernacle, there was something called the laver. And they filled that with water. And you know what the priests did? They went up there and washed their hands, and they washed their feet in that water. There was lots of washing in the Old Testament. When someone touched a dead body, you had to have the ashes of a red heifer, and you had to wash in the water. If you touch that dead body, you need to move on from that. You need to move on from the repentance from dead works. You needed to move on from just having faith in God to having faith in Jesus Christ. We need to move on from the washings of the Old Testament. And then it says, and of laying on of hands. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 4 and verse 4, in chapter 7 and verse 30, in chapter 16 and verse 21, there were sacrifices that were brought to the door of the tabernacle. And the priests laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on the heads of those sacrifices. That's a laying on of the hands. There was lots of laying on of the hands. And then it says that we need to move on from the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. And it mentions the washings, mentions the laying on of hands, but it also mentions the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead was taught in the Old Testament. It was taught very clearly in the Old Testament, such as in the passage of Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2. And other passages as well. But in Daniel 2 it says, Daniel 12 and 2, and many of them which sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It was also taught in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 that there would be a resurrection of the dead. There would be a eternal judgment taught in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have a better definition of it. We have in 1 Corinthians 15 that when the dead are raised, their bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The corruptible shall put on incorruption. The body will be changed, and we will put on incorruption. And so the teaching of what will happen, move on from the Old Testament teaching of the resurrection of the dead to the updated model of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Where how we are be resurrected from the dead, and we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the updated version. We need to move on from the very first principles of the resurrection of the dead and move on to the New Testament teaching of the resurrection of the dead. And then it says of eternal judgment. Yes, the Old Testament taught of eternal judgment. We just mentioned Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, that God is going to bring every work into judgment, whether they be good or whether they be evil. He's going to bring that into judgment. In Matthew 25, in the New Testament, we have the fact that Christ is going to return with all of his holy angels, and he's going to sit on the throne of his glory, and he's going to gather all the nations of the earth before him. And he's going to divide those nations as a shepherd divides sheep from the goat. And he'll put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then he will begin to tell each group that they can either enter into the glory of God or be depart from him. He never knew you. The New Testament version is more clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not taught in the Old Testament, but it is taught in the New Testament. Let's move on from the teachings of the Old Testament, and let's go to the New Testament where it's clearer and more precise. And so the things that were taught in the Old Testament were the first principles. They were the elementary matters. But now we must move on to the New Testament. And that's what he's saying here in Hebrews chapter 6. And then he says in verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world but to become, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You start going back, you reject the Holy Spirit that they had at that time. You reject the teachings of inspired men. You're rejecting all of that to go back to something inferior. You're about to put yourself in an impossible to be restored situation. I'm sure you know people who used to be faithful to the Lord, but they've drifted and drifted and drifted, and now their heart is so hard. It's like they've been branded with a hot iron. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Their conscience is seared as with a hot iron, and it's become impossible for them to be restored to the Lord. And you can be restored to the Lord, Galatians 6 and 1. If any be overtaken in any trespass, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. He can be restored, but we can put ourselves into a situation where it's literally impossible. Our heart becomes so hard that we will not be restored. I hope this study today of the fact that we need to move on from the first principles of the teaching of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ, and go on into perfection means that we must leave the Old Testament teachings and go to the New Testament teachings. And that it is possible, but you can reject so many things until it becomes impossible for you to be restored to the Lord. When you begin to disregard the preciousness of the gospel. Now, beloved, we do have a better covenant, and let's practice what the better covenant says. We don't have time to complete our study of Hebrews 6, which is a beautiful, beautiful passage in and of itself. The rest of it is very beautiful as well. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Richard Massey, and I do preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We'd like to give you an invitation to come out and visit with us when you're in our area, Weatherford, Texas. Just come 8 miles south on Tin Top Road. We're at 4839 Tin Top Road. We'd love to have you out here, and we'd like to meet you. And we do have a website, windmillcoc.org. Check us out. We have lessons there that you can listen to and other materials. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're glad to have this opportunity to study God's wonderful and mighty word with you. We pray his blessings will continue to be with you as the day goes forward.